Here's a name to put most A-level students off for a start, hydrogen halides. But if I said hydrogen chloride, you may feel on more familiar ground. You probably think I mean hydrochloric acid. Well, actually I don't. I mean hydrogen chloride, HCl. This is the unpleasant, colourless gas that dissolves in water to make hydrochloric acid. So you are on the right track after all. All the other hydrogen halides, hydrogen fluoride, HF, hydrogen bromide, HBr, and hydrogen iodide, HI, are colourless gases too. They're all pretty nasty substances to inhale and betray their presence by forming steamy fumes in moist air. They're also all very soluble in water to make the corresponding acids, hydrofluoric, hydrochloric, etc. Hydrofluoric acid, by the way, attacks glass, so needs special precautions. Here we'll concentrate on how to make some of these gases in the laboratory. Let's start with hydrogen chloride. As you probably know, HCl molecules split up completely into hydrogen ions, H+, and chloride ions, Cl- in water, forming hydrochloric acid, as I said earlier. One way you can form hydrogen chloride gas molecules is by reversing the process, making chloride ions combine with hydrogen ions in the absence of water. This means bringing up the heavy guns, concentrated, that's pure, sulfuric acid no less. This very strong acid will force chloride ions, from sodium chloride for example, to accept a proton, H+, and form HCl molecules. Can you picture the ionic equation? H+, plus Cl- minus gives HCl molecules. The reaction is helped by the fact that HCl is a gas and escapes, instead of the system reaching an equilibrium. Hence the old name for hydrochloric acid, spirits of salt. So a way to make test tubes of HCl gas in the lab is to mix concentrated sulfuric acid and sodium chloride, good old table salt, and warm the mixture carefully. The gas can be collected downwards in dry test tubes. Why in this way and not over water? Firstly, because HCl is very soluble in water, and secondly, because it's heavier than air. You knew that all along, of course. So now how about the other hydrogen halides, hydrogen bromide and hydrogen iodide? Given the family relationship, the same method should do, shouldn't it? Mother Nature is never that simple. There are complications. When you react sodium bromide with sulfuric acid, in addition to steamy fumes in air, you also get reddish-brown or orange fumes. Worse still, hidden away amongst these pungent fumes is another invisible gas. Its presence can be shown with a piece of filter paper moistened with potassium dichromate solution. The paper's orange colour goes green, a sign that something has been oxidised by the dichromate. This is the invisible reducing gas, sulphur dioxide, SO2. Where could this have come from? Well, only from the sulfuric acid if you think about it. What could the reddish-brown or orange fumes be? Here's a hint. You've used a bromide. Yes, it's free bromine, the element. So what's going on here? This method certainly isn't going to produce very pure HBr. Let's do a little chemical detective work. For this, you have to know something about oxidation numbers and redox reactions. What's the oxidation state of bromine in the free element? Yes, zero, of course. And in bromide ions? Easy, -1. And in HBr? -1 again, I hope you say. So, what's happened to the bromide ions, or the HBr here, turning into bromine? There's been an increase in oxidation number, -1 to 0. So that means oxidation or reduction? Which one? Oxidation, of course. So, there must be an oxidizing agent lurking in the heated mixture. Sulfuric acid is the only other reactant around. But that's an acid, not an oxidizing agent, isn't it? Well, maybe sulfuric acid's playing a dual role here. Remember the other invisible gas that was given off? Sulfur dioxide. The oxidation state of sulfur in sulfur dioxide is +4. And in sulfuric acid? +6. So, sulfuric acid has been reduced. Sulfuric acid is therefore behaving as an oxidizing agent as well as an acid in this reaction. That explains the appearance of bromine and the sulfur dioxide. How could we get over the problem and make some pure HBr? Another strong acid which is not as easily reduced has to be used. Not one that you are very familiar with, probably, phosphoric acid, H3PO4, works well. Trying to produce hydrogen iodide from sodium iodide and sulfuric acid produces a cocktail of the nastiest gases you could think of making in the lab. Beat this. Bad eggs smelling hydrogen sulfide, plus steamy, pungent fumes of hydrogen iodide, with some choking sulfur dioxide and purple fumes of iodine thrown in. Colourful as well as nasty. You may even see some yellow sulfur on the sides of the test tube. If your nose doesn't tell you that hydrogen sulfide is formed, then testing with moist lead ethanoate paper should. H2S turns the lead ethanoate black, so the paper darkens. The reason for this witch's brew should be clear by now. Hot, concentrated sulfuric acid is again behaving both as an acid and as an oxidizing agent. Hydrogen iodide is a better reducing agent than hydrogen bromide. The sulfuric acid is reduced even further to sulfur and to hydrogen sulfide. Work out the oxidation numbers of sulfur in these two compounds if you don't believe me. The hydrogen iodide is oxidized to iodine. A better way, but not half as much fun, of preparing hydrogen iodide from an iodide is to use phosphoric acid instead again. Phosphoric acid is not reduced by hydrogen iodide either, so all is well. Now for some fresh air.